It's Food Friday, and we're exploring the wide world of winter squash. A simple roasted squash is a great comfort food this time of year, but there's a lot more we can do, ranging from pastas and flatbreads to soup and dessert. Lori Skelton is a classical music host at WPR and a Food Friday regular. She's been cooking, baking, and tasting and sharing a lot of squash this month. Lori, welcome back.
Wide, wide world indeed. I think I could have a different recipe every day from now through the end of February and not repeat this once.
And I'm a big winter squash fan, too. One thing seems clear. You gave us some background notes here. Not all squash is the same. Give us a sense of the variety in the squash world.
Okay. A lot of us got started with acorns. Squash, the acorn-shaped dark green squash. You think about that, you cut it in half, and once you hollow out the seeds, the flesh is fairly moist, and you've got a fairly large cavity once the seeds are gone. Obviously, that's great for stuffing, or if you don't want a lot of squash, you can just hollow that out. You go on to something like butternut. The flesh is firmer, drier, much smaller hollow for seeds, and those are easier to peel when they're raw. They make a great base for soups, and you kind of think about squash in terms of, is the flesh relatively dry? Is it relatively crumbly? Or is it going to be moister when you work with it? And that's how you go from there. Pick your squash, pick the profile you want. Do you want something that's got a little bit of moisture to it, or do you want something that's drier, and then go from there?
So acorn and butternut are the ones we see all the time on store shelves. What are some of your favorites if we want to branch out?
Okay, start with something that is called a carnival squash, or some other people call it a sweet dumpling squash. This is the one that looks like a smaller acorn squash. The flesh is white and speckled with green and yellow. They are smaller, so they're a lot easier for just one or two people to eat. That's going to have a slightly drier than acorn texture, but a sweeter taste than, say, butternut. That would be one to look for. There's a new variety of squash out. It's been around less than 10 years, but I know of three people at, for instance, the Dane County Farmers Market that carry either a honey baby or honey nut squash. Mm. It looks like a mini butternut squash with darker flesh, but it's only about 4 to 6 inches high. This is one that benefits from dry roasting, oven on high heat, and this will actually get like a caramel or a malty taste. Ooh. You almost don't have to add any extra butter or honey or maple syrup to it. That's a fun one. And something that I've loved for 40 years, of course, is spaghetti squash. This is the pale yellow squash where you cut it in half, you roast it in the oven, you scrape it out, and it looks like strands of spaghetti. You can eat it like vegetable spaghetti because this is going to be a moister squash. You'll probably want a drier, chunkier sauce with it. But my favorite thing to do, going back to the Moosewood Cookbook 40 years ago, is using that as the basis for a vegetable casserole. It's marvelous.
And what keeps some people, I think, from working with squash is peeling it. It can be a pain. Do you have any advice for us when we want peeled squash on how best to do it?
Okay. First of all, if you don't want to peel squash, start with the brand that's called Delicata. Not the brand, the variety that's called Delicata. This is an oblong squash, and the flesh and the skin is so delicate, you can eat that with the skin on. It's
Oh, wow.
Great roasted as well as stuffed. For the most part, if you're going to be peeling an acorn or a delicata or one of those big monsters like a Hubbard where you need to take an axe to it to cut it in pieces, it's probably best to roast it or steam it first. If it's a smaller squash, you can even throw it in the microwave for 8 to 10 minutes and then just scoop out the flesh from the skin. That said, hang on to the seeds and that stringy pulp and your skins because that makes the basis for a really great vegetable stock. You'll want to boil that down, reduce it, and then save it. Pumpkin stock, I found out to my detriment when I tried making a French pumpkin and white bean soup. If you don't reduce it, and keep reducing it, it does kind of taste a little bit like it's missing the earthy tones. So if you can hang on to your peels, make a big batch of stock, and really reduce it, you'll have an amazing base for soup.
It's Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us. We are talking about cooking with winter squash. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite recipe to use winter squash? Do you have a question about how to cook with it? 800-642-1234. Let's get to a recipe that you pointed us toward, Lori. We talked to Lydia Bastianich. She was where you are right now, actually in the studio, and you talked to her this morning. You brought in one of her recipes to the office the other day. Actually, not just the recipe. You made the recipe, brought the food. We tried it. It was awesome. Marinated winter squash. This is at WPR.org/Food Friday. What's it all about?
I've known about this recipe for 10 years. Lydia has actually used it in more than one of her cookbooks. She loves this recipe so much. You take butternut squash, you peel it, and butternut squash you can actually peel with a vegetable peeler. Peel your butternut squash, slice that long, lovely neck into 1/3 inch thick half rounds, and then you fry those rounds in vegetable oil about 3 minutes on a side until they're almost done. You will then marinate those pieces of fried squash in a marinade that's made of reduced cider vinegar, a little sugar, a little salt, lots of slices of garlic that's sat overnight, and then you blend in a little bit of olive oil. All you need to do is layer the squash with the marinade, throw in some basil leaves, and throw it in the refrigerator and let it sit overnight. This is my suggestion for a very easy Thanksgiving side dish. Yes, you're using squash, but you make it a day in advance. It can be served at room temperature, and that reduced cider vinegar marinade is going to be sharp enough to cut through your gravy, your richer meats, without being so sharp as to overpower. I think this is a brilliant recipe.
It was a great mix of flavors. The smokiness of the sort of fried up caramelized squash, the garlic, the vinegar. It had a lot going on. But oh, and basil too, right?
Right.
Yeah, but it all worked together.
I thought so. As I say, it's a recipe that Lydia Bastianich has used in more than one of her cookbooks. It's if you are not comfortable with frying things on the stove, give yourself a little extra time. Yes, it is. It involves a little bit of cleanup, but that's one dish out of the way well in advance of a big meal.
There's so many different ways to do squash. It's like potatoes. Like you mentioned the oven baking it. You know, you can just put in a little water in a thing. I usually do all my squash, if I do it in the oven, a little bit of water in a casserole dish, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Squash half upside down. Little water, but you say sometimes we don't even need that water.
Again, with that honey nut variety, you want to dry roast that. You want to get that as caramelized as possible. I think it depends on every cook's preference, what he or she wants to end up with at the end of the meal. If you're roasting squash and you know you're going to stuff it, maybe you don't want to have water in that pan. You don't want to waterlog your squash if you're going to be putting a juicier filling into it. So look at what you've got to work with. Check the consistency of the squash. My go-to is, yes, turn it upside down in a pan with a little water. If you've got a drier squash, but you still want to add some moisture, cover your pan with aluminum foil. Then again, if you've got a moister squash that you want to dry out for whatever reason, maybe you want to use it for vegetable spaghetti, then go ahead and leave the foil off and don't worry about putting water in the pan. It may require a little bit of experimenting, but the lovely thing about squash is if it's left over and roasted, you can mash it up and throw it into almost anything.
Bringing a caller now at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Adams. Chris, hi.
Hi. Happy another gloomy day. well, it is fall in Wisconsin, right? People always forget about the season. I'm like one of those people that refuses to throw anything onto the compost heap or not. But there's a trick to making them, and I was going to suggest that people just throw the whole thing into the oven and roast it that way, because then your seeds steam inside and they're ready to go. But if you're going to split it in half and take the seeds out, there's a trick to making them. You have to put them in a very slow oven at the beginning until they're fully done, and then throw some olive oil and either herbs or some tamari on top of there, and they are so good for you. They're so healthy, and they're just a wonderful thing for you to have laying around your counter so when the kids come home from school, they stuff their faces with those yummy seeds.
You do them in the oven. Have you ever done them on top of the stove?
No, I haven't done that. But if you throw your whole squash into the oven to get it done, the seeds will just steam inside of there. So you don't have to even prep them in any way. You just scoop them out of there afterwards and throw them on a cookie sheet. That's okay.
What often happens when my boyfriend is making squash, he wants one kind of flavor on the squash and then a spicier flavor on the seeds. That's why he does his seeds on top of the stove. Say he's making cinnamon or ginger for the squash in the oven, he can throw some cayenne and chili on the ones on the stove.
All right. Thanks a lot for that call, Chris. We are talking with Lori Skelton right now about cooking with pumpkin and winter squash. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite thing to do with winter squash, whether it's sweet, savory, or in between? Tell us about your favorite squash recipe. Do you have some suggestions or some questions for Lori? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up a conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're picking up our talk with WPR's Lori Skelton about using winter squash in the kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What great squash recipes do you break out this time of year? Are you like me and you're looking forward to squash season? Are you like me in any other ways? No, I don't care. Just the squash. That's all we want to hear about. Do you have a question for Lori about how to cook with squash? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in Oneida County. Mark, hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Mark?
Well, I use my butternut squash and my acorn squash, cook them down like you'd cook a pumpkin down, and then make pies out of them.
And squash pie works out well for you?
Well, have you ever had a sweet potato pie?
I have.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing.
It's probably a little bit lighter in texture, I'm guessing.
You know, I can't tell the difference.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark. So squash in pie, Laura.
Absolutely. Squash makes a wonderful addition to desserts. We had an evening at my house where people brought squash dishes over. Somebody made a galette, one of those open pie dough things with apple and squash and blue cheese, which was amazing. Getting back to squash pies, though, we all know what a basic pumpkin pie is. When I read the Little House books as a girl, there was one book where Ma made a green pumpkin pie. She took an unripe pumpkin, sliced it thin, layered it in a double crust pie with cider vinegar, sugar, and spices, and they tricked Pa into thinking it was an apple pie. I thought, okay, yeah, fine. This is a little bit of poetic license in the book. And then I read the exact same recipe in the Taste of Wisconsin cookbook from the State Historical Society. So if you have a green pumpkin or a green squash in your garden, go ahead and see if you can make a green pumpkin pie that tastes like apple.
Well, I'm going to ask the question everybody's thinking now. Why do they need to trick Pa? No, okay, maybe that's not what they were thinking.
They were surprising him, I should have said.
Oh, okay, great. Now, you mentioned that galette, is that how we say that?
Galette.
Galette. Okay, we've got the delicata squash and apple galette. That's another recipe you set us up with. That's at WPR.org/Food Friday. Talk us through how this one comes together.
All right, this actually is a creation from Kirill Owen, a former technical director here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And she makes your standard 10-inch crust. She has apples with the skin on, delicata squash, again, with the skin on. You're slicing your squash and your apples about a half inch thick. Take the seeds out. Again, leave the skins on. You toss your apples with brown sugar, and then you alternate the slices of apple and squash on your dough. Put a little butter on top. Toss it into the oven. You may want to sprinkle vanilla sugar on top. Kirill suggests that when the galette comes out of the oven, then you put on your blue cheese dressing. Then you go let this cool down a little bit so it doesn't spread out all over the place. And she also recommends you sprinkle on a little bit of balsamic vinegar when you serve it.
Wow.
It's amazingly good.
All right. That's at WPR.org/Food Friday. Back to your calls now. Bill is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Bill, hi. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, listening to this program, I'm gaining 5 pounds just listening to all the tasty recipes. But I've got to say, with any fine meal, you do need a beverage to wash it down with. And I wonder if anyone has ever considered pumpkin wine.
You know, that's a really good question. I would tend to think this is not something that's going to ferment very well, but if someone is out there and you've actually fermented pumpkin, call and let us know. Here's one thing
I have. Yes,
all
back
right.
In the 90s, I made about 12, 13 different varieties of wine over the course of 10, 11 years. And one of the more unusual ones was pumpkin.
How did it taste, Bill?
It was very interestingly subtle. I don't know if I even need to say it was difficult to describe, but I did make pumpkin wine. I also did some other strange things like tomato and potato, but that's another story for another program. But pumpkin wine was in there, and I would think you could use a similar fermentation process for any of the squash.
Interesting, Bill. Thanks a lot for our bold winemakers out there.
Wow.
Give it a shot.
Okay, I know what I'm going to be trying this weekend.
Where are you going to find? You're going to make your own?
I've got to at least give this a shot. I would love to try making my own now that I know that somebody says it's possible.
Okay, thanks. And we'll keep expanding our frontiers, Lori. Here's an email. Becca from Elk Mound called, couldn't stay on the line. She says she grew zucchini and pumpkins in her garden near each other. Now she has, she says, zumpkins. What should she do with them? Does this happen? Is this a thing?
A lot of squash does tend to talk to itself in the garden. And I think what you should do is, if you're picking this when it's still relatively green, treat it like zucchini. If, however, it's sat in the garden and it's developed a harder rind, then go ahead and treat it like a winter squash, because that's basically what winter squash is. It differs from summer squash that it's harvested and eaten when the fruit is mature. The seeds are fully mature, the rind has hardened, and also we know it's hardy enough to be stored over the winter. You can't put a zucchini next to your pumpkin in the root cellar and expect it to hold up. So see what the skin is doing. If the skin is relatively soft, treat it like a zucchini. If it's harder, treat it like a pumpkin. Just off the top of my head, I'd say what you should do is grate it, no matter what you've got, and put it into a muffin batter or a cake batter or a quick bread batter.
Okay. All right. Well, and we'll send these zumpkins to the Ideas Network Biology Lab.
That's really cool.
if we had one. Back to your calls. It's Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us cooking with winter squash. We've got recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. Mike joins us now in Glendale. Mike, what did you want to ask about?
Well, I was eating a butternut squash raw the other day, and I didn't know if you could do that or not, but it was good.
What possessed you, Mike?
Well, I was peeling it, and I was getting ready to cook it, and I took a bite.
And I mean, you're still with us, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
And was it good? Was it a pleasant experience?
It was really good. I did it a bunch of times after that. It's very mild and very crisp.
Mike, thanks a lot for sharing that. Do people do this, Lori?
It's not done often, but yes, it is done. If you're not going to go the Lydia Bastianich route and make thick slices of squash that you fry before you marinate, get your vegetable peeler out, and then when you've taken the peel off, just go ahead and make thin curls of like a butternut squash and toss that with a very bold vinaigrette. Let it sit for maybe half an hour, and that makes a really lovely salad addition.
Get some onions and lime in there, and you got butternut ceviche.
Almost, yes.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Thanks for sharing that with us. We'll go now to Gene in Madison. Gene, hello.
Hi there.
What did you want to ask about?
Well, I wanted to ask. I'm a big fan of seeds. Even when I was a little kid, I used to buy pumpkin seeds, covered with salt, of course. And now I'm on a low-sodium diet, so I have to fix it myself. And I've done it, but how in heaven's name is there an easy way to separate the seeds from the strings?
I guess it depends on your definition of easy. I don't think there is one foolproof way. I do think you have to. My favorite way to do it is get them in a colander, go ahead and rub the seeds against the rough sides of the colander, and that will usually get rid of most of the strings. That said, because again, you can eat these things raw, a couple of strings aren't going to kill you.
That's true. I mean, actually, sometimes the strings get nice and crispy when you're baking them with the seeds, and they can be the best part. Sometimes they're kind of gross and stringy, though.
But yeah, something that will crisp up and caramelize gives you a different flavor profile. I understand if they're getting stuck in your teeth, it can be a little bit uncomfortable. If anybody has got a better way, but my favorite way is just stick them in a colander, rub the whole mess against the sides of the colander, and that will usually get rid of the strings pretty quickly.
Thanks for your call. I've got a big pot of squash soup waiting for me at home that I made just the other day. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've baked them in the oven with the water or whatever, but actually oven roasting, where we cut slices, toss them in oil and spices. Is there, I love it that way.
Oh, yes.
What's the best kind of squash to do that for oven roasting?
I prefer the dry varieties of squash, and here's where those honking big Hubbard squash, you know, the ones that it almost takes two people to lift, this is where those squashes can come in very, very handy. If you can wrangle one of those on your counter and are able to cut it up and roast it, that is going to give you so much leftover, lovely roasted caramelized squash. You can either eat it on its own, toss it in with one of your sheet pan dinners, or then go ahead and put it in with your pancake batter, or use it for a soup, or how many different ways. You mentioned Lydia Bastianich. We haven't even talked about the number of ways you can put it with pasta. A great way to use roasted squash is to toss it with a sturdier, shorter pasta like orecchiette or penne, and you will toss that with a little bit of sage and maybe a sturdier green like kale. Start by roasting it and then just go crazy.
Lori, thanks as always for joining us. A lot to work with.
A lot. We'll have fun.
Lori Skelton is a classical music host at WPR and a Food Friday regular. She was with us today to explore the zillions of options for pumpkin and winter squash, zumkin, you name it, in the kitchen. You can find a couple of recipes that Lori pointed us toward over at WPR.org/Food Friday and share your recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page.